A lot of the time, I think the work that I do is surgical. You know, I have a lot of contact in the medical world with surgeons, with cardiologists, and it's very precise, the process. And I think for me, emotional surgery is very real. And in a way, that's what I'm doing with you today is, you know, I sit one-on-one in the almost the luxury of my private practice. And I assure you, it's a very neat life that I have. And somebody asked me, do you have a business card? And I'm very fortunate that I don't have to do those anymore. With psychologists, our inbox is so full, and it remains like that. But for me, coming to do these workshops, to leave the comfort of my private practice, you know, the word for me was go and do this one-to-many, because in my practice, it's one-to-one. And in a way, for me, emotional surgery is busy happening, and it's with the hands of the Holy Spirit. I'm watching you. I'm looking at your faces. I know how deep this goes. You know, it goes to the very heart of your soul. So what I want to talk about now is a little bit more about the architecture of who you are. So the spirit and the soul, mainly I want to talk about, because the body we know. The trauma in the womb is a scheme of the enemy against the unborn child, against the soul of the unborn child. So this is not just some biological bundle of cells, I hope you realize now. It has a soul. And if we can go and traumatize the emotions in that soul, it can be coded in for a lifetime. And that's what happens to many of us. So I just want to lay a deeper foundation about the spirit and the soul, because I think this helps you even as adults and to understand this type of trauma. I said to you that the spirit and the soul, it's like in tandem, the spirit has the mind and your soul has the mind. Now, what is the mind of a spirit? So just say something happens to you. You suffered a job loss. How does your mind process that practical situation? So you can look at it from the mind of your spirit, or you can look at it from a disconnected mind of your soul. So your spirit will process everything from, you know, how can I say, the mind is an organ of perception. I deal with the mind. The mind is about how you process reality, what is happening in your world. So do you process your reality from eternity? This is happening to me, but how do I position what is happening to me in terms of eternity? If you are functioning from the mind in your spirit, you will process things from timelessness. Like you are positioned in, you come from timelessness. You know, your world, when I look at anything in my life, you know, for me it's yesterday, today, tomorrow, under the umbrella of forever. I'm playing my part under the umbrella of forever. And so are you. I think if you function from the mind of the spirit, you will never see yourself as some insignificant blob on the timeline. When you function from the mind of the spirit, your economy of how you function on earth, you know, you would never have to forage for anything again for a single day of your life because you are positioned. Now, you must remember the enemy aims to steal all of that from you and create an orphan in you right from the womb, even though you're born to parents. So what is the mind of your soul? I've told you about the mind of your spirit. If the mind of your soul is not submitted under the mind of your spirit, what you will be is your reality. You will process everything in terms of your five senses. How do I feel about this? What do I see? What do I touch? What is the sound like? And you will be in this world like an orphan, and you will say to yourself, I can't trust God. I must provide and I must protect myself. And that's what happens when the trauma starts in the soul of a child. It comes out feeling rejected and unwanted. It has no concept of eternity or timelessness. But it will come into this world alone, feeling disconnected. and you'll be very focused on time and space and how you function in it. If you function from your spirit, from the mind of the spirit, you will know that God is your Father, your protector and your provider, the creator of all things, and that you have a purpose, and the aim is for you to be fruitful in the earth. But when you function from your soul, God is your enemy. You don't trust God. You know, you go and hide. In the garden, Adam hid from God. He says, God is your enemy. I've got to hide from him. So a lot of people come to my practice and say, you know, I'm angry with God. I can't trust God. You know, I go from high-level talks to that in my practice. It's like, no, no. God has hurt me. God has abandoned me. Why would he allow all this to happen in my life? You know, God is not human, and he doesn't think as a human. And how he sees, you know, if your life is as a river, God stands at the end of the river and looks at the total function of your life. You and I stand in the middle of the river and wonder, like, what is going on? So I'm saying today, as you sit here, understand that when trauma starts in the womb, the whole idea is to birth orphans from the womb, even though you have parents, that you feel lost and misplaced in the world. You know, the soul is, you know, being in Johannesburg, you know, people often warn me about, you know, the disease of affluence and making ourselves so comfortable in our souls. And, you know, for me, it's likened to, if you're functioning in your soul, you're still on the Titanic. So maybe you have the presidential suite, and maybe others are sitting on the deck, but the Titanic's going down if all you are doing is functioning from your soul. If you don't know your identity, if you don't know that you are from eternity, that you're the son, then we're all on the Titanic. Okay, so I told you about this mind. We talk about the will all the time. What is the will? I deal with the will. You know, it's where decision-making happens. It said that you have free will. So for me, the spirit has the will and your soul has the will. So if you're functioning in the will of your spirit, you will have access to a divine intelligence in making decisions. You will know that you can use divine resources to make decisions. You're not just some lost castaway on this planet. And you will rely on heavenly resources. You will trust God. Not just, you know, not these mansions in heaven and storehouses. No, he's the storehouse. We trust him. So that's how you will make decisions if you connected to the will of your spirit. But if you see yourself as disconnected in this world, you will only rely on yourself. You will see yourself as vulnerable, and you will need to provide and protect yourself. And that's interesting. When we suffer trauma, we think we're alone on this planet. We think, you know, I can't rely on anybody. I can't trust anybody. And that's what trauma does. The other thing is, when you submit to the will of your spirit, you understand that you have a purpose, and you understand that God is the architect of your destiny. And that's what you will pursue in earnest. It's not about you. That you know, this architecture has been laid down. But when you function from your soul that is disconnected, you will have your own vision for life. And that vision will hit itself against a wall. You know, this is not only in corporate, it's in the church, it's in every organization, you know, ambition and your own vision. You will see yourself as the architect of your own destiny. So what will you do? You will labor and you will sweat. You will empower your own soul and you will exhaust yourself, because that's what burnout is, and that's a reality for most of ourselves. We're running a treadmill, and that's because you're operating from your soul. And if you came out of the womb traumatized, you will spend your whole life proving that you are somebody. You want to be somebody, and people must recognize you as somebody. You know how exhausting that is to prove that? And people make a life of it. They want the awards and the trophies, and it still won't feel enough. They will still feel something is missing. Because you're functioning from the Titanic. You're functioning from your own soul. But if God is the architect of your destiny, and if you understand in the will of your spirit that you have a purpose and it's perfectly ordered, and you're willing to fall in line with that, then this is an absolute adventure. There is absolutely nothing to fear. You know, if it's ordained and if you're not running ahead with your own vision, you know, it's for me, it's like, what an honor to be on this journey. So the last point there, regarding the will, how you make decisions. If you make decisions from your soul, you will see yourself as the powerhouse of decision making. You will end up controlling other people. You will manipulate. You'll make threats. You'll get your validation by association. So if you're standing next to an important man, you will form linkages. We see that in all the public media photographs. He's seen with so-and-so. You will join networks. But there will be a lot of jealousy, envy, and competition in your soul. Okay? But if you function from the will of your spirit, you will understand your power comes from the Spirit of God, from the gifts of the Spirit, and you'll be very much at ease in the world because you'll realize it's not about you, that you're commissioned, that, you know, you're on mission. Like for me, I see myself seconded to present this. You know, it's a secondment from my practice to come out and actually present this to all of you. But I understand it's part of my purpose, and I never rushed ahead with this. I sat with it for more than 2 years, and I went through all the protocols before I come to present it with you. You know, I'm not some loose cannon that just arrived here today. There's a host of background and formation that went into this. Okay, so I hope you're understanding now the soul and the spirit a bit more. But I want to come to now the heart. This is where the emotions lie. This is my metron, as I say. So your spirit has a heart, and I said to you, it's full of love. It functions from love. Your soul separated, the heart of the soul can be full of fear. So even when you're competing and becoming somebody, you're afraid that someone is going to exceed you, that you always have to compete. You have to come up with the next clever idea to stay on top of your game. That's functioning. You know, that's the fear in the soul. So I want you to know today, you know, a lot of people tell me they are very logical and they are very reasonable. And that's how they make decisions. And I'm so happy to see so many men here because men will come and tell me how unreasonable their wives are and how emotional they can be. And we have to and we have to wait for them to calm down before we can talk reasonably. Well, you know, this is something I know about. So I want to correct that and say every human decision is based on emotion. Every single decision you make is based on emotion. You justify it with your reason. Now, what do you think driving that little red car is about? Reason? No, you buy the little red car and you come home and say, you know, I got a special price on it. Same goes for women. When we go shopping, we'll say we bought it on sale, so we saved you a ton of money. But every single decision is made emotionally, and we will justify it with our reason. So as I said, if your soul is disconnected and if you suffer trauma, you will make decisions based on fear. That will be the motivation. And you know, your enemy knows this. He knows it, that you function from your soul and from emotion. And as I said, your enemy, angels were ministering servants over your soul. And he will control you. He will embed those emotions. So you, if you're feeling unloved, rejected, abandoned, those are emotions. Okay, so functioning from your heart, from your emotions, is where the basis of trauma lies, is what I want to say. So if in the womb you experienced all these negative emotions and you were afraid and you were anxious, that's strategy. Because if we can get you in the womb disconnected and afraid, you will live your life out like that. And when you come into childhood, it'll just be reinforced and reinforced. And as a teenager, it will be reinforced once more. Okay, so the heart of the spirit is love. And the heart of your soul is fear. And our job is to bring the soul under the spirit. Okay, so in the first session, Pastor Justin spoke about Jesus and John. Because there has to be doctrine for this. I mean, many of you here belong to churches and spiritual communities. And when you present this, you know, you have to understand the apostolic doctrine around this. So the example of Jesus and John, you know, I went to study it in depth. And yes, so rightly so, because Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. Okay, so she was quite advanced in her pregnancy. And Jesus was just conceived. So it was very new in the pregnancy. And as Pastor Justin said, when they came into proximity, the baby leapt in the womb. And why did the baby leap? You must remember, he so rejoiced at being so close to the Lord his God. So the soul of this child rejoiced. And we never see a child as you know, having a soul and paying attention to it. But John's soul leapt. You know, it's like when you worship, your soul worships. You know, it comes from your soul, from your emotion. And that was a type of womb-to-womb communication. So they were communicating. And you know what is really interesting is, you know, looking at the book of Luke, Mary stayed for almost 3 months with Elizabeth. So imagine they had 3 months together, John and Jesus in the womb. So how much of communication went on. I think they got to know each other. Okay, that's my own words. Okay, that they spent a lot of time talking what's it going to be like? You know, they just communicated, you know, and we never know. Maybe I should write a book about that communication. But 3 months is a long time. Think about 3 months. And they could communicate in each other's presence. Now, 30 years later, okay, so, you know, John was the kind of wild, crazy guy in the desert baptizing people. And, you know, if you read the account, he was baptizing thousands of people, you know, in the Jordan. This was no like a few here and a pocket there. They were just streaming to come to him. And then Jesus comes to him. And he stops, and many of you know the scripture. He said, you know, I cannot be baptized by you. You know, you should be baptizing me. I need to be baptized by you. And he tells John, no, leave it. Let it be. Do this now. You know, I always thought that when John saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I always thought that. But if you study the account, John didn't say that at that moment. If you look at the timeline was, he said, you know, you should baptize me. And then he went through the baptism and, you know, he was immediately, you know, the Holy Spirit fell on him, but he was immediately, without delay, instantly taken away into the wilderness. So there was no delay. So 40 days he was taken away. Probably on day 41 or so, he was walking back. And that's when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So how did John know that he was Jesus? How did he know when he saw him coming for baptism? And the bottom line was, the baby leapt in the womb a second time. He recognized him from his soul a second time, 30 years later. What he knew in utero, there is no record of them seeing each other for 30 years. And 30 years later, something so positive, his soul recognized him again, and this was planted in utero. Go and study it for yourself. So isn't that powerful? This is a powerful, positive example. So things that can be as blessings in your utero, you can experience 30 years later. So I think that's an incredible example. And what the soul is about emotion. So John the Baptist's soul rejoiced for the second time. He knew him. But don't you also experience that when you sometimes meet someone and there's a witness? Like you just know instantly there's a divine connection here. I'm going to be journeying with that person. You know, there's a witness. So I hope you would, you know, go and study this, because there's many positive things also that happen in the womb. And I think that's the best positive example. Now, what should we do about all of this? What should we do? How do we heal from our own traumas? How do we help other people heal? You know, one of the great paradoxes of working as a psychologist, of unpacking the minds and the souls and the psyche of people, is that when you work in emotional healing, there's so many doors of crises that open in the mind that cannot be solved by the mind. The mind can't solve everything. And you learn this early, and it's hard to admit as a psychologist, because we are supposed to be experts in how the mind works. But the mind can't solve many of the crises that it creates. So there has to be a deeper solution to this. And for me, the enemy took territory in the womb. Maybe when you were there, maybe, you know, people that you, in your families, it took territory in the soul, in the emotions of the womb. You know, I said this house where an alien moved into the basement, that's taking territory in your house. So what you have to do to heal from this is you have to go and claim back that territory. You have to take back that territory that was taken in utero. And that can happen, that can only happen. You have to take it back first spiritually and then go through all the processes. So when you do my type of work, there's a lot of healing and emotional healing that takes place. But what I've learned over the years is there's three types of responses and different types of healing to trauma. The one we are very familiar with, when we see all around, that you can become a victim forever. Okay? That means you do not move past the trauma. The trauma becomes your story and you stay stuck in it. You become bitter and it's a pattern for your life. So you will never come into your purpose. You will, you know, this is your position. You're going to be the, you know, the sad person, the martyr of this atrocity for the rest of your life. And some people make a pedestal out of it. I see it in my work. So you can remain a victim. Number two, you can become a survivor of trauma. But here, trauma becomes your testimony. Okay, so we see books written about it, of survivors, of lots of things. But the problem with just being a survivor, you know, and God helps that, helps you become a survivor. You know, that's what the purpose is. But your story becomes your identity, and that becomes also, as a survivor, your only story that you can tell. And eventually, it will become a dead work. just being a survivor. You know, I suffered this. This is how I overcame it. It'll become a dead work eventually because you can't grow into something else. But there's a third option, a deeper one, but harder work, and that is to be fully restored, to experience restoration in its fullness. And this is hard because it's a deep work of forgiveness. I mean, all being a survivor includes forgiveness, but this is a deeper work because it means you have to forgive the intention of the people that either abused you or left you unguarded and unprotected. That's a very deep work, but it happens. And here, you know, when you go through this process of forgiving intention, do you know your memories were actually of the trauma will actually be erased? You won't be able to remember. It's like when God does a work in you, such a deep healing work, that many of the memories will fade out. And you'll say, I know that happened, I can't remember actually. The pain is gone, the sting is gone. And you become very whole and complete. You know, it was Jesus on the cross, and I have to remind many of my patients who just won't forgive. They will be like, okay, I get forgiveness is a process. But what were his words? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You know, people didn't know the impact of the trauma from the womb to where you are today. They didn't know. You know, a teenage parent did not understand what negative words did for you, will do for generations to come. And when you can forgive the intention, you've accessed healing at another level. If someone has hurt you, even as an adult, and you can look beyond that and forgive, it's a process, I get that. But if you can forgive the way Jesus forgave on the cross, you will access a level of healing that is beyond anything you can imagine. And I see it all the time, because this is a process I take many of my patients through. This is what happens if you don't forgive, right? So even sitting here, think about someone in your life you may need to forgive. You know, even out of this teaching today, if you don't forgive, you will be wearing a pair of invisible handcuffs. One will be on your hand and one will be on the other person's hand, and you will drag them around for the rest of your days. And they will die and you will still drag them around with you. You know, this is the ghost of things past that will be coming and traveling with you if you are stuck in unforgiveness. You know, forgiveness doesn't mean forget. But when we restore, God does the work of removing the pain and the memories. And when you come to forgive, you know, we know the wound is bleeding, but you revisit the wound and you look at the wound with compassion. You look at the wound with, you know, you look at your perpetrators in a whole new way, that people that are struggling, people that are immature, people that really did not know what they were doing to you. You know, so often in the womb, our parents or young parents were ignorant, they were careless, many times they were unintentional. You know, I'm not saying all the time, but many times. You know, for me, the other reason we need to forgive, I deal with a lot of people who are quite old, you know, they're very senior, they're in their 80s. My oldest patient is 93 years old. There's a lot of anxiety in him. And you know what we all want at the end of our life? We want forgiveness. We want absolution. There's a time in our lives we all will ask for it. For me, you better start early. Start now. Forgive. Don't wait till the end of your life to actually do this. Okay, so now we come to the fun part. How do we heal from this? You know, I'm starting a process today. And it's a process. This is not some event. I don't have a magic bullet that I can use. But I'm depositing something healing as a process for you. As I said in the beginning, I don't know where you are in your journey, what your beliefs truly are. But this process is for people that understand that they are children of God, that you're a heir of God. that you are not here by some random experience, that you were created with intention and you were created with purpose. And if it has been your experience that the demonic has taken illegitimate occupation in your soul, either in the womb or even as a young child, it means that we have to take back that territory today. And we have to begin the process of taking back that territory. And the way you do it, for me, I'm teaching you a process. You can teach others. You can practice this on yourself. But I've just spoken about forgiveness, and I hope you, maybe even some of you, would be ready to forgive your own parents and how they left you exposed and unguarded. But you must remember, as part of this process, you too need to repent because you agreed with the lies that were spoken over you. You agreed with the lies that were said about you in the womb. You agreed that you didn't have a purpose. You agreed that you were unwanted. So we have to have some repentance and awareness around this. And then, of course, we need to drive out the spirit that lodged itself in your womb, the spirit of fear and rejection and abandonment, because that is not your portion in this lifetime. So I'm going to take you through a process, and I'm going to start with forgiveness. I'm going to get you to stand just now if you want to, okay? So we're open to that. But I'm going to take you through the forgiveness, the repentance, and taking back your territory. Because it's pointless knowing all this if we can't effect it. Now remember, we are driving out spirits, okay? The word for spirit is pneuma, which means it's air, it's wind. So it's not uncommon when you go through something like this, you may feel like you want to just blow out, you know, like you just breathe out. You may feel a ringing in your ears, or you may feel nothing at all, and that's fine. You know, when we're in church, I think some of these things are very orchestrated, okay? But for me, when a spirit leaves, nothing needs to happen because it's a work in yourself. So let's begin. If you would please stand. Okay, so I just, you know, if you want to close your eyes, it's fine. I'm just going to talk a little bit, and then I'm going to say some things that you can say after me if you would like to. But I just want to say some things first, and you can just focus, you know. Because I want to deal with one of the most common ways these spirits come into your life. And number one is the neglect of parents, as mentioned. And it's the ignorance of parents. And we have to begin by forgiving your parents. Because if you don't forgive, the enemy still has authority in that area. Forgiveness means you going back and you taking territory from that. And then we're going to go through the repentance. And then we're going to go through the expulsion of the spirit. So as I said, so you can just close your eyes, but say after me. Just repeat after me. I make the following declarations from my position as a child of God. I choose to forgive my parents for their sins against me. They fail to protect me. In my infancy, from the schemes of the enemy. As a result, I have suffered greatly for most of my life with the consequences and errors of their failures. I specifically forgive them for words and actions that opened a doorway in my soul for the spirit of rejection and the spirit of abandonment to enter. I further forgive them for allowing the spirit of fear to invade my emotions. These failures have been painful and harmful and robbed me of life. It is with the full knowledge of this that I choose to forgive my parents and for their sins against me. Furthermore, I recognize that I have also believed these lies. And by that, I have empowered my enemy against me. I acknowledge that this is a sin against myself. I ask God to forgive me and to cleanse me and release me from the authority that I gave to my enemy. This is my declaration and my confession of sin. Made this day before the throne of God. Amen. Okay, so just wait a little. So now that you've forgiven and you've repented, you've taken back the territory. So the enemy doesn't have jurisdiction in that area of your soul anymore, because that's the process. So now I want you to take back what is yours. And if you want, you can raise your hands. Say after me, I reject and I renounce the spirit of rejection and its counterpart, the spirit of abandonment. I now command them to leave my body, to exit my soul. I reject and I renounce the spirit of fear. I now command it to depart from my soul. In the name and by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so now I'm going to make a declaration. You can just relax. I'm going to pray for you, because working in emotional healing is my domain. The Lord has prepared me in, he's given me authority here, and this is my metron of grace. So I want to pray for you. So I would say today, to the spirit of abandonment, and to the spirit of rejection, and to the spirit of fear, I declare on behalf of the Lord and on behalf of his people here today that you have no authority over their lives, no more. Now be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. The Lord rebukes you. Be gone. You have no hold of any person seated here today and standing in your presence. Amen. Okay. So when the enemy comes back to test you, and he will, he'll be coming from the fringes, from the fences, and if he tries to do this to you again, you take yourself through a similar process. Your territory of your soul has been taken back this morning. I thank you, everyone, and I thank you so much.
Well, we trust that you've been empowered by all that you've learned today. If you wish to contact us, please visit the following websites for our details: www.lifecom.co.za and www.ronniesamuel.co.za. You can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter.